relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast, folk. Those in the know, Batman versus Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys, I respect the both. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't rapping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
What is up, Toy Fam? Welcome back to another episode of The Figure Booth. I am Josh, your host, aka Prime to the First.
Hey guys, this is Nate, aka Figure Fan underscore Nate. You've reached episode 28, which we're calling The Cycle.
The Bat Cycle? Vicious, the Vicious Cycle? It's a vicious cycle. Yeah,
the Vicious Man. Cycle, the Bat Cycle, the Death Cycle.
Oh,
what other Toddy Mac cycles are we going to get?
Just Toddy Mac cycles? There's a lot of cycles. The mental cycle. It's crazy. Why are we calling this episode The Cycle?
Well, I think we've noticed a trend, and you know, it's something that's affecting me and you as well. But yeah, it seems maybe not necessarily a yearly thing, but it happens frequently.
Yeah,
where you see like a figure purge.
Yeah,
you know, you're seeing everybody. The purge. Yeah, everybody's doing like sales posts and just trying to get rid of stuff. You know, I've been doing it too. I know you've been doing it recently, which got to pat you on the back for finally starting to put some stuff up for sale. That's great to see. But it's like a cycle that we kind of all go through, where you're selling stuff to buy stuff. You know, it's like, I got to sell more figures so that I can buy more figures. So it's like, it's like a cycle that just never ends. That's why I call it a vicious cycle.
It's crazy, because for some, it could be like a breath of fresh air, where you're getting rid of the stuff that, yes, it did bring you enjoyment at one time. It's time to go on to new stuff. That's exciting. That really helps you get through that process. But for others, I think, like, and it might be like half the population, half the collectors, is really easy to dump stuff. And like, they don't care if they make money, if they lose money, as long as it funds the next figure, right? And there's other collectors where we want to squeeze the most juice we can out of that figure for all sorts of reasons. It could be nostalgia reasons. It could be, hey, this is a really highly sought out figure, right? I have a really strong connection to it, so I want to sell it for top dollar. And then sometimes, you know, we get stuck where some of those really rare figures do sell for that top dollar, and you know, they're asking prices is market. It's like, what, that's the going rate for it. Other times, is you see lots or figures being posted for like these crazy prices where you're like, that's like, where are you getting your prices from? And I think that type of cycle where it's like, it's hard for some of us to sell, or we find ourselves not selling our figures. And then it's almost like we're beating ourselves up with, because we want to get rid of them. But at the same time, we don't, because, you know, sometimes we may be pricing them high on purpose because we're like, hey, if I'm going to sell this figure, I really love it, I'm going to get $100 with it, when we know maybe top dollar is like 60 or 50 bit. It's like, no, I'm not going to take less than 100. You're not going to sell it. And then at the same time, you're like, oh, I'm still stuck with this damn. And then all of a sudden, it's like a love-hate relationship that you build with yourself. It's crazy. That's a crazy cycle.
It's true. Yeah. And you said it exactly. I think people have attachment to certain things.
Right.
And so it's almost as a way like, hey, I'm trying to sell it, but I can't. It's like, well, you're pricing it above eBay, man.
Right.
What do you expect? You know, if you think about it from a buyer's perspective, and I think it's hard because when you're selling, obviously you want to get top dollar for what you're selling.
Right.
You don't want to go too low, because then you feel like you're not making enough profit or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But as a buyer, we always want the deals, right?
Right.
We always want something that feels like a good deal. Like, oh, I'm saving $20 on retail, or even if it's something small. So I think as you're selling stuff, you have to kind of think about that from the buyer's perspective.
Right.
And I think a lot of people go to eBay as a baseline standard for prices. But with eBay, you have to factor in that there's a 12% markup just for fees alone.
Right.
You know, whatever you sell on eBay, you're going to lose 12% just from fees. So maybe take that into consideration if you're doing a price, like, okay, I'm not going to go fully eBay price, but I'll go 12% below that, which would be what I would normally make on eBay if I sold at that price anyways.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's hard to let some stuff go. And I think that's why a lot of people kind of hold off on doing it until they feel like they have to.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many good things coming out nowadays. And I think with Galactus charging and you got those new Cosmic Legions coming out, which I think it's where I first started to see it. You know, we kind of talked about this briefly on one of our recent lives. But, you know, once you start to see a bunch of new pre-orders dropping, is that's when you start to see these purges happening.
Yeah.
Everybody's just trying to generate income.
Yeah. You know? And I think it, you know, all this new stuff from all sorts of different avenues, you know, we got Cosmic Legions, we got Hasbro dropping new stuff, a lot of stuff that some collectors have been requesting and wanting for a certain given time. And then just other lines like you meant you can insert whatever line you like, and they're probably doing something that you like or catching your attention, because lately it's like I hit whatever toy I'm looking at, whether it's NECA, even as simple as like Hot Wheels, they have like this these racer sets where it's like a trailer and then a race car. Even those look freaking cool. I'm like, oh, what's gonna happen? Like, now am I gonna start freaking collecting Hot Wheels? Like, it's just there's so much out there, right? So yeah. I'm like, obviously I can't collect it all. I can't be a Pokemon trainer and catch them all. Can't do that. But how good is my collection right now? Because I have a lot of stuff. Is it good enough for me to be like, oh, that's all good, a lot of good stuff out there, I don't need it? Or do I want that new stuff, but what do I do with this old stuff? You know?
Right.
And sometimes you do have to bite the bullet and be like, hey, I just want to get rid of this. I'm going to sell it for a deal. And even that, sometimes I think there's a lot of back and forth where you're dealing with individuals that you should know what the going price is for a figure if you're into that line. So when the price is posted, like, I don't know, it's lowballing offers. Like, come on. Like, especially if it's an older figure and you're trying to get it for retail, that I think there's a certain etiquette to selling, you know? Also, like, yeah, if the price is, for example, for me, if I've never dealt with someone, I'm always going to send via goods and services, right? If I never bought a figure. But at the same time, if you sell me a figure for $100, and you're like, hey, Josh, this is what I want, $100. I'm like, cool. I'm going to sell it to you, or I'm going to send you the money via goods and services, but I'm going to include the additional fees. It's not that hard to do. I'm going to send you, I don't know, 102, right? That way, I know you asked for $100. Why would I send you $100 via goods and services? So then that way you get 98 and some change, or 97. And now we're starting off on the wrong foot, right? And then you're like, hey, dude, you need to send me like $2 more because PayPal charge me a fee.
Right.
What am I going to say? Well, I didn't know about the fee. Like, come on. You should know.
Come on,
if you
don't,
do your homework. Like, this ain't,
I should.
This ain't day one of how to buy figs.
That's true, though. And I think a lot of people act like, oh, I didn't know that. You didn't say that. Didn't we agree on $100?
Yeah.
Yes, but if you want it goods and services, you need to, you know, factor that in. I shouldn't have to tell you that. It's like babysitting. We're all adults here.
Yeah, and it tells you, too. You know, the buyer will pay a 2% fee, whatever. It tells you that. And I don't know. I think there's certain assumption that if you've been in the fig game for this long, or you want this figure, you know what it's going for. You should know the etiquette behind it. If you're paying via good services, which I give them the option, I'm like, pay however you want. If you want good services, make sure I get what I'm asking for. Cover the fees, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, I think, etiquette and just behind buying figures that you think it's common sense, but then it's not so common. You know, a lot of times, even like asking for a figure and then you want it mock, and then when, you know, a collector tells you, okay, shipping's gonna be $15, you're like, that's crazy, $15 for you to ship it. You're like, I have to find a bigger box for this figure, right? I can send it to you, and then most of us don't want them loose. Like, for me, I don't care. A lot of times I'm like, send it loose, because I'm not going to do anything with the box. Like, you can trash it, because I know it's going to be expensive to send something mock.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of people assume, or they treat it like a retail store.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, well, I thought I was just paying you for the figure.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, I have to ship this. And shipping is not cheap.
Yeah.
You know, you ship stuff all the time. You go through your arcades. It's not cheap to ship things. And by now you have a certain idea of what it costs you.
Right.
But sometimes if you're selling figures that you maybe have sold before, you might undercut yourself a little bit on that shipping cost. And then you get there, you're like, man, I only charged them 10 and now it costs me 20.
Yeah. And that's happened too. And I never go back to something like, hey, shipping was actually, I mean, unless it's like, I charged the guy 10. Like I remember one of my first deals, I charged the guy maybe like 15 and the figure was super heavy and the shipping was like $25. I'm like, dude, the shipping is $25. And he had no problem. He's like, oh yeah, I'll pay the difference. Right. And there's been other times, like, I don't want to just focus on the bad stuff, but there's been other times where there's been some, I've had some really good experiences where I'm selling the figure. No questions asked. Like, and you want to, again, who you're dealing with, right? Knowing your audience, because I think like a collector that you've had conversations or you follow them, it shows you, okay, this collector, I know this guy is not going to sell me a figure that has been trashed or around smoke. Cause that's a big thing for me. Like, I don't want to buy a figure that's been in a smoking environment. No. I don't want to buy a figure that's been like manhandled left and right. Like if you're playing them in a freaking play sand in a sandbox all day long, like I don't want that. Right. So there's been other times where I just assume, oh, this guy knows what he's doing with. And then I get the figure and then like the joint was broken or it's loose. And I'm like, and so after that, I was like, I got to ask all my questions. Like, what's the issue? Are there any issues with the figure? All that stuff. Right. And I've had some good experiences where they don't ask me anything. Cause they know like, oh, all Josh does is takes them out of the box. If that, and throws them in the detox or in a shelf and that's it. Right. All the accessories were there. It's almost a given. Like, unless it's noted, you should let your buyer, hey, something's missing, or this is the problem, you know, before you go ahead and process that. But on the good note, I've had some really great transactions where I've either been asked to find a fig for someone, or I'm like, hey, I got this. I know you were looking for it, and I'll send it to them. And then after the fact, like I had this, and I wish I knew who it was, but they sent me like a extra $5. Like, I think the figure was like 25 shipped. Right. And they sent me 30. And I'm like, hey, dude, you sent me an extra $5. I'm like, oh, that was for your time or for your gas or for you to go out of your way. And I'm like, whoa,
that's cool.
And I took that. I'm like, I'm going to start, like, I need to take note of that. Cause I don't do that. Like, I'll call myself out. I don't go be like, hey, I'm going to give you an extra $5. Cause you did go out of your way. You took time to go to the post office. You packaged it up. That to me, I'm like, that what really creates a bond between collectors. You know, it's like giving me a tip when it's not even asked for, man, that I remember that stuck with me. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have to start doing that with when someone finds me a fig, I'm going to have to give them like extra stuff. Cause if I want to pay like a scalper price, or if I'm going to go on eBay and pay, I'd rather give it to you, my fellow collector who looked out for me, versus giving it to eBay or versus buying it somewhere else on a Facebook group with someone that I don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's it's going to sound weird when I say this, but it's like an Uber Eats driver, you know?
Yeah.
You're tipping that guy to go and get your food for you and bring it to your house. And as a friend, you know, you're saving me time and money by not having to go search through stores, and you're, you know, giving me that figure that I've been looking for. It's not out of the realm of possibility just to throw them an extra $5.
Yeah.
It's just common courtesy, especially if it's a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
You know, you want to show that you appreciate that. And it's obviously not expected.
Yeah.
But it's just situations like that, like you're talking about, where, you know, if you know your figure has problems, like, just be upfront about it.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it will affect the value. That is true. But you can't expect to get retail price for something that's not complete, or like you said, has a smoke smell to it. If you're not telling me that it's got a smoke smell to it, like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Don't do that to me. Cause that's one of the hardest things to get out of a figure is, like, it's almost impossible. Sometimes it just seeps into the plastic and it's done.
That's it.
Like, it will never.
I got a figure one time and I left it in the box. And I'm like, nope, not. I'm going to just go buy another one. Cause that shit stunk. I was like, I'm out of a smoker's house. Like, they must have been smoking marbles like day in and day out, because man, it reeked.
When I get people sometimes that you know, I used to price it like, oh, here's the price plus shipping,
right?
So wait until I figure out where they're from, and then I'll either probably charge you $10 or 15. If you're 15, you know, it's because you're on the East Coast and I'm on the West, and I know it's going to cost more. But then you get people that are trying to negotiate you with you on shipping costs. It's like, well, I really just want it first class. Yeah. Like, yes, but it's more than 2 pounds, so you're not going to qualify for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't understand why it's costing $20. Okay.
Because boxes and padding is free.
Yeah.
Like, there's all that stuff. And a lot of times, like, my biggest question is, like, is your time valuable? Because a lot of times, time is money. So if I'm spending time finding a box, finding the packages, now I got to, like, look at my schedule. Okay, I got to make a post office run and drop these. I hate really waiting more than 2 days and sending a package, because if I pay for something, I know the way I am. So I try to treat those that interact with me the same way, right? But that cycle, that always kind of, like, the new stuff comes out. And lately I have been trying to purge through some of my figures. It almost rekindles, like, the love for Hasbro. So, like, right now with Hasbro dropping all this new retro stuff, all these these past figures that they've done and they're reintroducing, I'm going back through my bins and I'm like, oh man, I have, like, I almost have this whole complete team. I should really get, it's like, it's pulling me back in. And there's been a couple times where I've opened up a bin and I'm like, oh damn, I didn't even know I had this. Like, I think I was about to buy him and I already have, like, I ended up with 2 custom sculpt Nick Fury heads because I forgot I already had one of them. And then I found both of them. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a dummy. Like, it's things like that where I'm like, okay, obviously I'm losing the pulse on my collection. It's kind of getting out of hand.
Right. And that goes into, like, how do you choose what to sell? You know, like, I think a lot of people struggle with that. Like, oh, I'm going to want this later, or I'm going to want that later, or this might become more valuable.
Right.
So maybe I should hold on to it. But for me, it's always just, how long has it been sitting in a box?
Yeah.
How often do I think about it?
I can't go. You know? I can't use that rule. If I was to use your rule, I sell all my stuff.
Yeah. Well, but, and I do that for, like, you know, I've been doing it through my Mezcos lately.
Yeah.
Like the Krig, for instance.
Yeah.
I had the Krig sitting in a box, and I used Krig 13 a few times in shots, and it's not a bad figure by any means, but I just have no desire to shoot the rest of that team, like the Blood Force Pale Drivers. And I put them up in my store and I had people reaching out, like, oh man, you're not making much off those. I'm like, I'm just trying to get what I paid for.
Right.
You know, because for right now, I feel like I'm losing money with them just sitting around.
Okay.
And yes, I may not get a premium price on it, but I know that I want something else.
Right. It's off your hands.
And this is something, it's something I don't care about anymore. If I can give somebody a good price, that's cool. That's what I find is really surprising. People want good prices, but then when you do that, they respond to you and tell you that, like, your pricing is low. Like, oh, you're not making as much money off this. I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to, I just want it off my hands.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to, you know, obviously there's things that I am going to try to make money on.
Yeah.
There's figures that are older, or I know they're more valuable, or whatever the case may be, where, yeah, I'll charge you a little extra than retail, but I'm not going to go eBay price. But then it's just, it's weird because you get people that reach out like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to sell that? I'm like, well, I'm already okay with that price. So
yeah,
I don't understand why you're trying to talk me out of it.
Yeah. And it's just funny because, like, right now I started looking at going through these bins and then realizing you can tell by what's in certain bins or boxes, what phase in your collection you were going through. Like, I found a bunch of DCUC figs that I was trying to complete a Justice League set, right? And I was like, that's it. That's as far as I got. And I was like, fuck these figs. Fuck DC.
But how many layers of dust does it have?
It has, you know, and they were all in poly bags and stuff. So I took them out and I'm like, okay, I got all their accessories. Nice. Cool. Let's get these all out. And those, man, I hunted for those. Like, I remember hitting up all the targets and trying to get the team stuff. But I'm like, I've switched to still completing my Justice League team, but only from a Mezco standpoint. I'm like, I don't need a DCUC team and then a Mezco. Like, I don't need all these different teams, especially because now I see, like, my collection has evolved so much. So I'm like, what's the connection with the DCUC figures? Like, yeah, they're great figures, but I don't need them. And so that's the thing. Like, I wanted to get rid of all of them, right? I put them up and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna put them up as a lot. Looked at what the ongoing rate was, and I'm like, I'm just gonna average it out. Literally for retail, I'm like, hey, $100 for the whole lot, that's $20 a fig. Like, right. And their going prices for each figure varies. Like, some are at 23, some are at 30, some are at 35. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't care. Like, $20, that's what they were at retail, you know, whatever. And sometimes people want, like, and that kills me. It's like, oh, I want dibs on this character, or I just want, I'm like, the lot. Either take the lot, don't take, like, all or nothing. All or nothing. Yeah. I don't have time for 2 cents. So
yeah,
that's the frustrating part too with dealing with. And you know, I share with you. I was going through my bins. I'm like, I don't know if I want to put it on IG, and just deal. That's the, you know, deal with a lot of like the back and forth, or do I want to just bag it and organize it and then go to a toy show and then unload it there? Because sometimes, hey, people can negotiate, they can, and I just want to get rid of it, you know?
Right. And that could be another option too. I think you told me about that. I'm like, I think it just depends on this, the amount of stuff you're trying to get rid of.
Right.
You know, if it's maybe
just 2 figures. Or,
yeah. If it's maybe like 5 or 6 figures, I'm probably just trying to sell it yourself. But if you're thinking about selling, you know, an entire storage bin's worth of stuff, then yeah, a toy show is probably better.
Oh,
because you're just, you know, you don't have to deal with all the individual shipping. Like you said, people usually have cash.
Yeah.
They just want to give it to you. You give it to them. Boom. It's off your hands. You get the money. I've sold stuff at toy shows before, back when I used to have a mint on card collection.
Yeah.
You know, I got scared of going on eBay and trying to ship all that. So I was like, all right, let me go to a toy show. And it ended up working really well. I sold like almost an entire lot to some guy.
So, and that's the thing, like I started discovering that I had like a couple boxes that were all mint on card stuff. And I'm like, what the, like, why do I have these mint on card? I'm like, these. So I started finding all my mint on card stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to put these aside, and I'm definitely going to sell these. I should just sell them at a toy show, cause I'll get the most bang for my buck, and I don't have to worry about shipping them. Cause those are, you know, it's a pain. So, and you saw, I sent you a picture of all the stuff I have to go through. It's a lot of stuff. Like I even found a bunch of still Mezco stuff in the shipper box from Entertainment Earth. I'm like, I haven't even opened these up. Like that's, I was at a point where
it tells you something.
Yeah. So I'm like, I need to thin it out. And I think it feels, of course it hurts a little bit. It's almost like you're giving one of your babies away out to the wild. It's weird, right? So you get rid of, these figures, but then obviously the monetary, that's a good motivating factor. You're like, cool, I got some good chunk of change or whatever, spending money that I didn't have. Now I can go buy something else. That's good. But also like seeing the space start to get little and little, like I've been selling a couple figures. Like I sold so far like 3 or 4 sets where there were like two or more, right? And they were taking up a good sized box. And now I got rid of that box. And I'm like, cool. That was a motivator enough for me to start digging through the rest of my collection. Cause man, I found so much stuff where, again, it's like I start losing sight. And it reminds me of that time in my collection where I'm like, do I want to go back down that hole? Because that's where I see myself now, where there's so much. It's like a kid in a candy store, right? I'm like, oh, Hot Wheels. Oh, Cosmic Legends. Ooh, like I was thinking about pre-ordering a Hot Toy, the classic Spider-Man. I'm like, that's going to be my first Hot Toy. I'm like, what's going on? What are you doing? You got Super 7. You got Mezco. Like, come on.
Yep.
And that's one question for everyone out there, like to our listeners and viewers and stuff. Like, what do you do when you find yourself like just feeling overwhelmed? Or I think a lot of us go through this where we don't find the joy in our collection anymore. Mm-hmm. So the unfortunate part is we just have like this huge purge sale or a fire sale, and then we regret it later. I've had a buddy who's gone through it twice. He sold everything and then bought it right back and then sold it again. And the last time he was like, here, I'm just going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. And that's how I ended up with my Dark Knight Mezco. The very first one, he just gave it to me. He's like, look, I'm done here. I'm like, whoa. I'm like,
that's great.
He shipped it to me. He was like, here. And I'm like, that's crazy to walk away like that. And that sucks. Like, you know, what causes a collector to just kind of walk away? Is it our own self-control that we just like take off the horse blinders and we're just like going after everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's different motivations for different people as far as why you want to sell stuff. And I think for me personally, what I did recently where I was just purging a lot.
You were?
Yeah.
I was a little scared. I was like, I need to hit up Nate, make sure he's okay. Or tell him, what else do you have? Let me know first before you start. Because those prices were crazy. They were a little scary.
Yeah.
And then I had to check my wallet, and my wallet was like, nope, it's not happening.
Nope.
Not happening.
Yeah, see, that's like, I knew that there were more things that were coming soon. And truthfully, I was looking through my bins of stuff to sell, and I started to like just getting frustrated because I couldn't find what I wanted, and there's just like, you know, 5 or 6 boxes to go through. I'm like, fuck this, man.
Oh, I am getting rid of my garage.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of just a bunch. like things that I've been considering selling for quite some time, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And actually it feels better now that I've let stuff go. Yeah. I have that second thought like, oh, you know, when that Yellow Hornet comes out, maybe I'll regret letting those Krig go, but I already don't care as much about it, you know? So maybe that would have been a better time to get a better price on that stuff. Who knows? But the fact that I had the thought to do it and now I've just decided to do it, I feel better about it. And I can focus on more stuff that I care about more, because I feel like one thing that I notice is when I do purges, it does change my collecting habits. You know, because I start to think, okay, these are things that I never really ended up using, or I just lost interest for at some point.
Right.
And now I can focus on things that I'm collecting that I really care about. And one thing that we talked about with Mario, I'm trying not to touch my wallet. You know, I'm trying to use my figures to fund other figures. So I don't want to dip into my personal checking or savings account. I want to be able to just boom, turn that money into something else.
I think that's the hard part. Like, so I have like three bins, and you know, they have different drawers and stuff full of legends, and I keep opening them and I'm like, yep, I need to go through these and sell them. Because then I start finding like, I have like these grocery, like those knit bags that you take to the grocery, and they have newer legends in there. So to me, that says I at one point was buying so many legends that I was just throwing them in the bags. Didn't have enough time to like, I built the bath because I think it was Strong Guy and I don't know, Joe Fix It, right? I bought enough legends, didn't take enough time to mess with them, because some of them are still like in this pose where they're like, they're stiff. They're like right out of the plastic.
Out of the box pose.
Right out of the box pose. They have the elastic around their hand and the guns, or around the ankles. The
joints are like, still sticky.
And I'm like, what the fuck, Josh? Like, you didn't even pose them. You didn't, like, obviously, you don't need this figure. But then I tell myself, can I sell them right now? I'm like, well, I don't want to sell them for like $10, or even looking at some of the older Toy Biz. Like at this point, who the hell wants a Toy Biz legend? Unless it's a face-off cap, or I don't know, like a McFarlane Spider-Man or something. Like, who the hell would want a Toy Biz Thor from Series 1? And I have like a bin where I threw all my Toy Biz legends. And I look at them. Yeah, the sculpt is really good. The paint's amazing. But then you see them compared to the new stuff, they're atrocious. Like, they have weird cuts. They just, they're not aesthetically pleasing to the eye. So I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this plastic? Like the movie, one legend that comes to mind is the movie Daredevil, the Ben Affleck Daredevil. They did a legend figures of him, and he's horrible because his arm just goes up and down, and he has like single joints. It's a Toy Biz one. Horrible, horrible legend. And I'm like, some of these, like Pyro is really outdated now compared to the new one. What else comes to mind? There's a handful that I'm just looking at them. I'm like, why do I even have you? I should just melt you, because no one's going to buy you. And it's not even a hassle to sell you for like $5, because shipping's probably going to be $5. No one's going to pay $10 for a Pyro.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, well, I'm debating. Like, I should just do a Toy Biz legend sale, sell them for dirt cheap, and be like, just get them off my hands, because I'm tired of seeing these fucking.
Or you could sell them as a lot, like you did the big before. Lot.
Yeah.
You know, put a couple of valuable ones in there, and then maybe put in some stuff that is not as valuable.
That's a good idea.
It's like, the only way you're going to get this one is if you buy the whole lot.
You buy all this plastic.
I'm giving you a good deal still, because I know it's not a highly sought after figure, but I'm trying to move stuff too.
You know, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. I've seen that where I've seen people where they put lots like that, and I'm like, oh, that's a trashy lot. And I look, I'm like, oh, those two figures are really good. And I'm like, damn, that's kind
of
worth
Those two out of the five are worth it. It's like, okay, well, you're still giving me a good deal, and I'm getting three other figures that maybe I don't care about, but still the price is right.
Yeah.
But I think there's, you know, it's okay to put limiters in place as far as like, I will never sell this. You know, I do that with a lot of my DC stuff, kind of like what you talked about, my Mezco DC. I will never sell any of those because I know I'm going to regret it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with you, I know you've been saying you've been getting out of Marvel Legends, but I know
I feel like
Marvel's your jam.
Yeah, it is.
You're getting back into it. It's kind of like your bread and butter. So that makes sense why you're having a hard time letting that stuff go.
Yeah.
Which is okay. You know, hold on to it until you feel like, yes, this is okay to let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's really no rush to do it. And I feel like people feel like they have to let things go that maybe they're not so much wanting to. Like you talked about your friend that did the purge.
Yeah.
maybe there's something going on in his life where he needed money.
Yeah.
I've seen people do that before. If you don't have to let it go, maybe just hold on to it for a little bit more, you know, but if you feel like there's really no interest there and I'm holding on to it because I feel like I'm going to make more money off it later, those are the ones I'm starting to look at. Like, why am I being greedy like that? Just get what I can now and fund maybe those Cosmic Legions or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll feel better about that.
And like, some time ago I sold the 112 Damn Toys. It's like the, I'm going blank, but it's like a SWAT set. And I had my eye on these guys since they previewed them. I was like all about them because they were really hard to get. And there was a different set that had came out like the year before, but these guys, they had the jeans and one had like a pair of Nikes and the other guy had like a pair of Tim's. Really, really cool. And man, it was such a hard time for me to let those go. But I was happy that a fellow collector and like a fellow friend, I consider Dario from the Toy Migos a friend, and he reached out and he's like, hey, I'll take those off your hands. And smoothest transaction ever. I was like, made sure everything was there. I put them back in their box and stuff. And really, like, I had just taken them out. I think I did an unboxing with Kevin. And then that was it. They just stood on my shelf. I freaking love those figures, but I'm like, I'm not appreciating them. And they're freaking awesome. Like, I'm like, they're just, like I had fun with them, but I need to be able to let it go. The minute I shipped those out, I was like, you know what? I feel okay. Like, I'm not, the collector inside of me that was crying, he's like over it. I think he shed like half a tear and then that was it.
The more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that initial one is always the hardest one.
Yeah.
Especially with something that you've been debating for so long. You're like, I don't know. I should just hold on to it. And then you sell it and you ship it off. You're like, shit, now I feel like I should have kept that.
Oh, and see, and I was like, yes, on to the next one. And I was like, I just get these fuckers out of here.
Yeah. But I think it's not uncommon to feel like that. You know, I think you just have to have an end goal in mind. That's what, like, it's just like we're talking about. You have to have a focus for your collection. When you're getting rid of stuff, you have to have a focus for that too. Because like you talked about it, it's not just knowing what to sell, but it's also the way you conduct yourself with other people. Because I can't stand when I'm trying to deal with somebody that doesn't really know what they want.
Yeah.
You know, like you put it up for sale. You said, DM me for price. I DM you. You're like, well, I'm not really sure. Let me look it up. I'll get back to you. It's like,
look,
you
should know. Get out of here.
Yeah. Before you list something, have a bottom line price in mind. Yeah. Rule number one.
Yeah.
What are you willing to take bottom line? Because you know people are probably going to try to negotiate. And if you don't want to negotiate, just tell them no.
Yeah.
You know,
that's there's no pressure
to do that.
I never respond. DM for price? Nope. That's not going to get my attention. I'm going to skip right over that because you don't know what you want. And you're not going to take what I'm willing to pay for it. Because now when you tell me DM me for price, I'm going to be like $1. I'm going to treat it like we're in the Price is Right.
Exactly.
Like $1, Bob.
Yeah, this is an open negotiation. Yeah. Well, no, I want a fixed price.
Okay,
well,
maybe $1. You should 50.
Put that in your story. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we've all talked about it. The DM for price people scare me.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't want to even either list that price because you feel ashamed of what you're going to ask for.
Or you might as well raffle it off.
Yeah. You might as well get 25, you know, $25 per spot and what is it?
50 like entries.
20 slots. Yeah, 50 entries for a Blood Force Krig Mezco or something. You're going to charge me $500 for it.
So you can make your car payment. Do it.
Yeah. It's just common courtesy, guys. Like, just have an idea in mind of what you want for a price. Put that in the listing. If somebody DMs you, be quick about it. You know, don't let them hang on for a while. I've had some really great transactions with people on Instagram. And for the most part, they've all been very positive. But every once in a while, you get one where somebody's trying to undercut you. Like you said, there's one thing that grinds my gears. You clearly don't know the price that I'm charging if you're going to try to undercut me on this. I had one that happened this weekend where they wanted $20 less than what I was asking. And even you told me, you're like, man, your prices are great.
Yeah.
And I told the guys, like, dude, come on.
I almost was going to snag one of them, that PX Batman, even though I already have them. I was like, oh, I see one of my favorites. I wouldn't mind having another one.
I still have that PX Batman.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to
didn't get sold.
All right.
But so like, you know, I thought to myself, like, clearly you either are ignoring the eBay price
or
you're just trying to get a better deal out of me. it's kind of insulting in a little way, you know, like,
yeah,
I was selling for something. I was selling something that was $50 less than the eBay price. I knew it was a good price.
Yeah.
And then they wanted $20 less than that. I'm like, no, I'm covering shipping too.
Yeah.
You know, that's just rude, man. I told them, I was like, no, not interested. Yeah. And they just, you know,
no suit for you. No suit for you, my son.
Yeah. So it's okay to say no if you're not comfortable with it. But I think you guys need to have a price in mind of what you're willing. What's your bottom line price?
Yeah. Because
everybody tries to haggle, and it's not uncommon. And it's not going to be something where, yeah, maybe you'll get a little bit offended if they're not really being, you know, cautious of the price. And that's another thing. If you're going to haggle, make sure you know what price you're really dealing with. What's the ongoing price for that?
Yeah.
So that when you haggle, you don't seem like an idiot because you're going way too low.
Yeah.
You know, I think people throw it out there like, let's just see if this will work.
Yeah.
And then it's not eBay.
Take a week to ship their stuff.
Exactly. And then have you shipped that yet? Oh man, you know, I got busy. Dude, it's been a week and a half.
Hey, we're all like, most of us are on our phones. Like I just feel like most of us are on our phones constantly, right? There are certain times where you can tell where everyone's on. You're on, you should be able to tell me like, I haven't shipped it yet, or I shipped it yet, or I'm going to. And it should be on top of your mind. You just sold something. Yeah, you got cash, but you need to send that shit out ASAP.
Yeah, people get the money they just go, they sell their ass.
I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes. Like if I sent some guy that I kind of know this amount of money, to me, I'm like, I don't care if it's $10 or if it's $100. Yes. That's a lot of money because I don't know the other person's situation, you know? And the dollar amount is irrelevant. It's just the principle behind it. Like, hey, we did a transaction. I'm going to send this to you. If I told you tomorrow, great. If it's like a Friday, I'm going to tell you Monday. Like, I always try to communicate that. And I think that's another challenge where a lot of collectors, that's where the ball gets dropped, where they're not, hey, this is what I'm asking for, and I'm going to ship it. If you tell me how I'm going to ship it Tuesday, great. I already know that. I'm not going to bug you over the weekend and expect you to ship something to me or tracking number, you know. But then come Tuesday, I shouldn't have to come and bark at your door for tracking number. Like, you should just send that to me. That's why a lot of times, like, I really like doing stuff through goods and services or sending out invoices through PayPal, because the minute I ship it through PayPal and I, you know, enter all their stuff, it sends them the tracking right away. So I don't have to send a picture. I don't have to do anything. Like, and a lot of times people are like, hey, dude, I didn't get tracking. I'm like, check your email. It's in your PayPal. And yeah, PayPal will do that for you. That's why I freaking love invoices. I just send you an invoice and all the fees are attached, all that good stuff. You don't have to worry about it scamming you, because I've been doing this for too long to scam people. Like, come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true though. You know, just have, like, if you're going to sell something, make sure you're ready to go, because nobody likes to have to wait for things when they know that they bought it a week ago. You know,
just
you got your money. I paid you immediately. Now do the right thing by me and ship it out as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Because if you make me wait, that's just rude. You know, it's common courtesy. And for me, it's like reputation.
I want
to hold a good reputation.
It's all about your brand. But it's funny because I've had some extremes where a collector paid me and was like at night, right? He paid me, like, let's say it was Thursday night, and he's in a different time zone. I think it was like Central Time. And Friday morning, he's like, "Hey, bro, where's my tracking?" I'm like, "I'm just waking up. Like, it may be 10 o'clock your time. It's 8. Like, my post office is not even up. I'm in the West Coast." And I'm like, "I will have tracking for you by the end of the day, but I may be Prime, but I'm not Amazon Prime. Come on." that always like makes me laugh, where he literally paid me Thursday night. Friday morning, he was like, "Hey, bro, where's my tracking?"
It's like, they treat you like a retailer.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't work like that, man. I'm a real person. Yeah. I will get to the
I'm a real boy. I am a real boy.
Yeah. Or I'll sell something like on a Saturday night, and they'll DM me Sunday night. They're like, "Hey, did you ship that yet?" No, man, USPS is closed on
Sunday. You're a scammer, bro. Are you a scalper?
I bought that yesterday though. Yeah, you bought it at like 4 p.m yesterday. What do you expect me to do?
Yeah,
you know, it's just be patient, people. Like, obviously we're saying ship things when you can, but let's be realistic about it.
I don't think from Loki, the timeline, I don't think it exists in collectors. It's crazy. No. I'll get some like order requests and stuff for the arcades, like at crazy times of the day. I'll wake up and I'll be like 2 o'clock my time, or no, it'll be like 8 o'clock my time, and then they're in the East Coast. I'm like, man, they're like 2-3 in the morning. Hey, I'm gonna get a Prime Arcade. I'm like, that is insane. I'm like, that's awesome. But that's kind of crazy. Like, they have no, it's so funny. Like, sometimes I think I'm like, there's no sense of time. Like, time zone? What is that? No, I don't care where you're at.
Yeah, this is my world. You exist here.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's, and it's in a sort, that's kind of cool because you can always reach out and someone's always gonna, like, sometimes it's funny because I'll post something like really late on my time and I'll get, I'll start a conversation sometimes and I'm like, man, it's really late. Like, where the hell are you? And the other day I was like talking to somebody and they were like in Holland and I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to lunch. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Like, that's freaking crazy.
Yeah. And then, you know, the ship, I haven't had this happen really, I think, from anybody that sold anything to me, but one time on eBay, I bought something and, you know, obviously you have to put your shipping information ahead of time, like what you're going to ship as. It said priority. They shipped it as ground.
Oh.
And it took like 6 or 7 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe 9 days. It was so long. Sorry. And then I filed a complaint against the guy because I was like, well, you know, I'm going to give you a bad review because you didn't ship it priority. Damn. I know he's just trying to save himself money.
For shipping.
Yeah. But yeah. And then he tried to fight back with me and say, well, I shipped it the way that I was supposed to.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know, you put priority, you shipped it ground. That's not what I agreed
to. That's not cool, bro. We should do that. eBay horror stories, new segment. eBay.
That's a good one.
Yes. And then we can ask our audience, hey, submit your eBay horror story and let's dissect it. It's not an eBay horror story, but I think for any collector out there who's in a relationship, this is a eBay horror story for you. So this, I came across this eBay user and this was like early in my Instagram and this user, she put out like on her description, she's like, I just got divorced. My husband was like a huge Legends collector. Everything's gonna be going for dirt cheap. And she started throwing up all his customs, and they were really great customs given the time. I think this was like 2015 or so. And it was crazy because I got a cyber custom and I paid $30. And this was like on a, I think, one of the Wrecking Crew figures. And like, he did a bunch of work. It was almost like too dangerous because the nails, cyber has really sharp nails, and this guy put like needle points on him. So like, and it was crazy because I remember I had posted it on IG and everyone was asking me for the seller's info. And then I started getting shit for not sharing the eBay seller because she was putting up lots and figures and it was like dirt cheap. And obviously they were for bids, so people were bidding on it. But a lot of people like lucked out. I picked up a couple figures for like not even close to asking price. I mean, I think like a figure that was, I think the Legends, oh my God, just Destroyer. He was a really sought out figure, right? I probably ended up getting it for like $25 shipped. And he's like a $80, $90 figure at that time. So it was crazy. She was throwing out a bunch of stuff. And then it was just funny because in each description of the figure, she would always put, this is coming from a collector's. I divorced him. Like, you know, she was just like running through the dirt. And I was like, damn, that sucks. And then she threw up his comics and she threw up everything up in there. So I'm like, dude, do not ruin. Like, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, because they will burn your shit to the ground or sell it super cheap. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I tell my wife, if anything ever happens to me, you look up the eBay prices for this stuff. And you sell it accordingly.
Is that what we all tell? Because I literally, verbatim, I think there's a collector's code. That's, I told my wife, I'm like, look on eBay. Or I'm like, reach out to these five people. I'm like,
yes.
Nate, Clean State Customs. I'm all 796, you can, but he's gonna be all over the place. Like, he's kind of, I'm like, I don't know. I'm gonna reach out to them and they will direct you how to list it, take the price. Yeah. I'm like, Mario may enable you to buy something else and then sell it right away. So he's your last, don't go to him. But yeah, you got, I tell the same thing.
You have some mortgage payments sitting there in the collection. So use that first before, but make sure you sell it for the right price.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I tell my wife the same thing. I'm like, this is a key investment. And I think that's the big problem that we have of letting go. Cause we see it as an investment. The time we spent looking for the figure, you know, especially if we're still hunting, which I feel like I haven't gone to the store to hunt in a long ass time. If we're still hunting, pre-orders, all that stuff, just trying to keep up. When we sell it, we want to get top dollar because we put in time. So it's tough. Exactly. It is a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it is. It's something that we've seen before. We're going to see it again. You know, this is just our thoughts on it. Hopefully that's relevant to you guys. I think we've been seeing a lot of people going through that. So if I have to ask you, you know, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, let's say, what has you pumped? Why are you thinning out? What has your focus right now?
You stole the words out of my mouth. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
It's those cosmic legions, man.
Oh, nice.
I'm still debating, but I just wanted to make sure that I had the funds available if I decided to go down that route.
Yeah. I'm definitely on the fence about the all-in. I do want to grab a handful. And I've had a couple of the Mythic Legions in my cart from BBTS. Because there's a few that I want to check out. But I'm on the fence of, like, how many. I know I'm going to get at least two. For sure two. But the Legends team has really pulled me back into, like, with everything that they've been dropping. Yeah, I got Galactus. I got the Sentinel on the way. But the most recent Spidey wave that got announced, I picked
up. Yes.
That's the first wave in a long time that I pre-ordered the whole stinking wave.
I'm thinking about doing the same thing.
And I'm going to pick up some doubles, too. I'm going to keep my eye out. And I'm like, okay, now I have to hunt. I have to get a couple Black Spideys. I have to get a couple of Hammerheads. Like, I'm already, like, army building. Like, I didn't get any Skrulls, but I'm like, I have to pick and choose because I can't get it all.
You can already tell that Black Suit Spidey is going to be highly sought after because I think that's selling out more than anything else in that wave. But you're right. That whole wave looks great. You got the armored Spidey in there, thanks to Billy Moon.
Yeah.
You got the Ben Reilly Spidey in there. You've got, what is it, Shocker. They all just look great. They look really good. And I think we've talked about this a few times over the last few waves. Outside of the Eternals wave, which I don't think looks that great.
But I saw like in the my dollar store.
Oh, yeah. Already.
Yeah.
Already at the dollar store. But yeah, the Eternal, the What If wave.
Amazing.
The Age of Apocalypse wave, the recent one, even though I'm not a huge fan of that, those look really great.
Yeah.
The Legends team's just killing it lately.
So like, the Retro Spidey wave, amazing. I'm almost scared if they do, like, wave two or how. Wave three, this would be wave three of Retro Spidey Wave. And, you know, like, they give us, like, Doc Ock. They give us Smythe, animated Scorpion, animated Chameleon.
Animated, like, Morbius.
Carnage. Cool. Yeah, animated Morbius, animated Carnage. Like, we start going down that route. Maybe a Madame Web. Kraven, a Madame Web. Like, that would be, like, you can go down that roster. But then I'm like, we haven't seen any retro carded X-Men or X-Force team. Like, if they start bringing in those, there's so much, because that whole era of, like, those retro cards, there was so much going on. They were all over the place, where that's what's kind of scared me. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go deep on Legends if they start revealing stuff. It's exciting. It's an exciting team. That's an exciting time to be a collector, and that's why it makes me look at my collection and say, I need to probably start purging some of these, like, fillers that I've had, just because I was a completist at one point. I was trying to get every single wave, every single figure that came out. I wanted to have it all. Now I'm like, I just need to pick and choose my teams. Like Spidey, I'm almost thinking, do I get two of those? One to keep Mach, one to open up. The Black Suit Spidey, I'm probably going to need three of those. Like, it's just crazy.
It's and also a hard time to be a collector right now.
Yeah.
And there's so much good stuff.
Exactly. Like, I can't get into Star Wars. I can't get into anything else. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I was just starting to get into Super 7. I haven't gotten my figures, but I got a couple sitting in my pile of loot. Like, and Storm. Like, oh, Storm Collectibles is killing me. Like, Reptile got announced. I pre-ordered him. Do I want King? He's 115. I'm like, and then these third-party, and here we go. See, this is the cycle. The third-party companies. We got the Logan figure. We got
V-Toys Robin.
Yeah, the V-Toys Robin. What are we supposed to do?
Right.
Wow.
It's the vicious cycle, man, coming back.
Damn. But I'm getting pumped just talking about these figures.
That's one thing I love about figure collecting, is that it is easy to move your collection if you want to.
Yeah.
It's not one of those, like, dead investments, like, where you buy it and it's too readily available. It's too easy to get. You know, it's a great, like you said, it's a good investment type hobby. Yeah. Yes, it can be expensive to be a collector, but it's also easy to get that money back and go buy something else. So it's one thing I love about the hobby, not because I do it all the time, but when I want to do it, it takes a weekend and I've got a ton of money in my PayPal. And I'm good. You know, I'm happy now.
It's just balling. You know? Just
I'm feeling good about my next purchase because I know I'm not going to be digging into my wallet again. Yes,
that's a good
and answer. I got a lot of crap out of my collection that I wasn't using that's just been sitting around. So that to me is like euphoric. It feels good. You know, it feels good that I did that.
And all those lines I talked about, and I didn't even mention like the 1/18 scale that I've been dragged into by Mario. Like no Joy Toy. Joy Toy has been sitting like on the sideline. I'm still pumped about them. I'm still going hard on them. But it's funny because again, I was going through these bins, going through some boxes, getting rid of stuff, and then I started discovering all these like stashed Hot Wheels that I was getting. And I'm like, how the fuck did I get all these freaking Hot Wheels? I usually have like I think it's like two shoe sizes boxes, a box that's about the size of two shoe boxes, and it's full of Hot Wheels. That was my Hot Wheel collection. Now I found a whole different stash where I'd buy one every once in a while, and I'm like, great, now I got all these freaking Hot Wheels. What the hell am I going to do with them? Like, yeah. So it's crazy that you start finding all this stuff. And then that's what really puts me in check and say, okay, you need to like really trim the fat. Cause yeah, a lot of the purge, it's the season of the purge. I think this fourth quarter, we're going into the fourth quarter, time to purge it all.
I think we're going to see more of it. It's not the end. I think it's just the beginning as we move further and further, through the end of the year and get towards Christmas, you're going to see more and more people are probably going to purge. So if you're looking for something specific, right now is a good time to be watching people's stories because you might find that figure that you've been looking for pop up. But you know, it's also a good time to let go of stuff.
So it's like the Fast and the Furious sequel, which is not going away, where you're going to see a lot of them, a lot of purges.
Yeah. It's going to be coming back a lot.
Yes.
That franchise isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
It's coming back for family.
That's right. So speaking of, have you any new plastic confessions?
No new plastic confessions at this time. Actually, no, I lied. I have a couple. Well, no, I don't, because they're all like in limbo. Like, I have to go pick them up. I have to get them shipped. There's a lot of the logistics behind my plastic confessions are in limbo right now. So at this time, it's like I get a virtual chip. I don't get a real chip because I do have stuff to claim. They're just, they're in transit right now. I'll blame the pandemic. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, really. I've got things pending.
Yeah.
And I know we did a live recently. I did get a couple of things, and one of them I showed off that Dio. If you guys are curious about it, go check out that live we did with Mike and Mario, and shout out to those guys for joining us. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I got that Dial from BBTS from 12 World. Highly recommend that if you guys have been looking at those ruins of building Dials.
Yeah,
do it. It's a great price and you're getting a good piece. But yeah, outside of that, I really haven't received a whole lot. So I think we're both getting tokens this week. And I think it's just the frequency of content now.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I'm like, I can't, you know, it's,
I can't been, buy
it's
something
been 2 days
week.
Since we last talked. I can't have, I got nothing new since the last 2 days we talked.
The people are going to want it. They're going to be like, no, guys, we want you guys to go out there and buy stuff. And then
we're
going to
have to change up these plastic confessions at some point. Maybe it's not going to work. We'll see. As far as a dirty trick, though, I do have a new dirty trick for the week.
All right.
And this one I'm going to call All About the Angles.
Hey, sometimes that's all that matters.
Yeah. Try different angles. It's the best thing I can say. So... You know, if your initial idea is, okay, I'm going to do a top-down shot on this, but maybe you get it in camera and you're like, that's not really the way that I wanted it to look. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll totally change the angle. So, okay, I'll go from top-down to bottom-up. You know, what does that look like? And sometimes I can totally change my perspective on an idea and maybe change up the setup a little bit. I was talking with somebody that was working on toy shots that maybe is a little bit new in doing it. And he was just asking for some advice. And I said, I think, you know, rather than doing a top down, cause it looks like you're somebody that's like looking at your figures kind of like this and shooting them.
Yeah.
You know, put yourself in the element, like make yourself one of those figures. So maybe it's another figure looking at that figure. So put that perspective. So we're kind of looking at them like that. And he's like, oh wow, that really changed my mind about the shot.
Yeah.
So it's just like, especially if you're going to put the effort into a setup, don't just take that first shot and run with it. Try different angles, like maybe going from the left or the right, or tilting the camera a little bit so you have kind of a off-kilter sort of angle. You're not perfectly straight. Because I think a lot of people approach a shot as like, you know, I'm just going to go completely square and just going like this. But maybe try going like that, you know, or maybe try turning it like this, or just try it out. I've found so many shots just doing that and messing with the angle just slightly. It just totally changed my perspective.
And that's a really good thing that you bring up, is just the angles. And I think the angles have to correlate with the action that's going on.
Yes.
Right? So like if you have a figure posing, they're running a certain way, right? The angle should be supporting that, because if the angle is going against them running, it looks like they're running uphill, or like it changes the whole thing. So I've seen some shots where the angle is like, it's like cut, but then the figures are they're going against the angle. And I'm like, okay, so now they're running uphill, or it eliminates the illusion that you're trying to create. And a lot of times I think with certain angles, it really emphasizes the action that's going on. Like, I think one person that comes to mind, and I think we've brought him up many, many times, is D-Amazing. He does a really good job of certain angles, but he zooms in really close because he's selling that feature. Like, he's knocking somebody out. So the floor and everything else doesn't have anything to do with it. It's that, like, you can feel that person's getting knocked out, you know?
Exactly.
Jay Hernandez, the same thing. It's an angle because he's selling that pose, you know? He's selling, it's balancing. And I think the angle with taking everything into consideration really sells the picture. So, yeah, no, the angle, it's tricky. That's super good advice.
Yeah, like you said, it's all about that perspective. Like, what are you trying to really accentuate in the shot? What do you want to fill up the frame?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you angle it a little bit more, you can fill up more of the frame with the figure rather than having empty space.
Right, yeah.
I learned, it's funny that you bring up D-Amazing, because I learned a lot of that from him. You'll notice it in a lot of his videos. He usually has two or three shots that look similar, but it's a different angle.
Right.
And it totally changes up the way that shot looks.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching one with the V-Toys Robin where he's got him on the bike, and he's got one that's like bottom up from the bike where you can barely see the guy's face, but it makes it just look really cool because you're focusing on the bike. But then he does another one that's top down that makes it look like he's riding across, you know, like going fast on a street or something like that. It just totally changes the way the shot can look. So mess with the angles. Don't take that first one and run with it. See what you can get. Because you might surprise yourself on you know, what you're going to come up with.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome trick.
Yeah. And last but not least,
our figure aficionado.
I'm going to recognize a guy that is extremely supportive of everybody in the community. I see him all the time in lives, and I'm not promoting him for that reason. You know, this is Figure Aficionado. He is a toy photographer. He tries really hard to do great shots. I see him really switch up things a lot with his figures, his setups. You can tell he puts time into trying to do it right.
Yeah.
And it's Bat Force Grump.
Bat Force Grump.
He has a lot of passion for what he does. And you can just tell it in his shots. He tries really hard to do good toy photography. I'm always, you know, talking to him in DMs and things like that. Like, maybe try this, maybe try that. But
yeah.
I really liked his work. He's come a long way, you know, from where he started. If you go way back into his page, from where he is then to where he is now, his toy photography has really come a long way. So I just want to recognize Grump. I see what you're doing with those shots, man. I appreciate it. I think you should keep pumping it out, because I appreciate your work. I know you're a Batman fan, and I am too.
Yeah.
And so anytime I see one of your Bat shots or DC or Joker or something, it's right up my alley. So. We appreciate you, Grump. Keep grinding, man. You're doing a great job. But if you have not followed Grump for whatever reason, I mean, I'm sure anybody listening knows who Bat Force Grump is. Go check out his page. Show him some love on his toy photos. He posts other stuff too, but he does post a lot of toy photography.
He's been doing an awesome job. Good job, Grump. Good job.
Killing it, man.
Killing it with a knife.
Multiple backstabbing knives.
Yeah, a lot of backstabbing knives going on. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you all for listening, tuning in, sharing it, sharing your comments, the feedback. We appreciate it as always. You can catch me, Prime to the First, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And I've been Nate, a.k.a. FigureFan_Nate. You can catch me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And I just want to echo what Prime has said. You know, thanks for all the support. If you guys have not subscribed to us on YouTube already, please do that. We're getting a lot of great feedback on our videos. The views always surprise me when I go in there. You guys are super supportive in the comments, so we really appreciate that. Please make sure to hit those thumbs up button. That really helps us out a lot. Thanks for all the support so far, guys. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. And you have been listening to The Figure Booth. We'll be right back.